You have your Bibles, I encourage you to open to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where I'm going to be speaking from today, and it's the faith chapter. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. I believe this is the greatest faith chapter in the Bible, and I hope that the summer of 2017 is the greatest expanse of your faith ever in your life. That's what I hope for. I hope that as you look on your life, and I think there are some of us that we may be in an adult body, but we may have faith that's ever so small. And yet on the other side of things, we might be very, very small in age, and we might appear very young, but we might have grand faith. So I'm not sure where you find yourself today, but I truly believe this. Each of us are in a faith journey. Each of you. I am as well. And I want us to say, what happens now and what does God want to do? How does God want to grow us in our faith? Now, this is assuming something. And so here's my assumption. My assumption is that you have some faith in God. I believe everybody has a faith in God of some kind. They may not understand that faith in God. But I believe that there's something there because we were created in the image of God. And without us being created in the image of God, we would not have any kind of concept. So maybe for you, you're like, I don't know about God. I ask that you begin a relationship with God and say, God, would you be a part of my life? Would you help me to know you? Many of you have done that already, and you would say, well, but I need to grow. Yeah, you do. You need to grow. But I want you, before we go into Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. So if you would, Hebrews chapter 12 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Now, chapter 11 is here. We've been in all of Hebrews, and we're going to spend a lot of time in Hebrews chapter 11, but there's a bunch of stuff in Hebrews 11. And let me tell you, God's word is so rich in Hebrews chapter 11. Well, it's rich all over, but there's going to be several things that we can just pull out of God's word. But Hebrews 11 is here for a reason, and there's a Hebrews 12. I don't understand this all, and theologically you might debate me on this, and that's fine. We could have a fun discussion. But here's the thing I want you to understand. The Word of God says this. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's why you're going to see the cloud all summer. You're going to see that cloud. And I want you to be reminded that there is a great cloud of witnesses that are there cheering you on. I was down in prayer time. There's a couple ladies that gather to pray for you most every Sunday morning. They were downstairs yesterday, or not yesterday, they were downstairs today. And Mrs. Toland, who's sitting over here to my right, shared with me about her grandson. Her grandson, how old is Jared, Mrs. T? 12. And he's playing baseball, and not everybody gets to do this in baseball, but he did yesterday. There was a guy on first base, there was a guy on second base, there was a guy on third base, and Jared Ziegler steps up to bat. Well, just as would have it, he wasn't Mighty Casey at the bat this time. He was Mighty Hank Aaron, or whoever you want to be, and he hit a grand slam home run. Now, that's a pretty big deal. How many of you have hit a grand slam home run? Anybody ever done that? Brian Dickerson and Sean Golson and Jared Ziegler. See, it's not. Denny has? You've hit a grand slam, Denny? What a deal. Anybody else want to confess right now that you... Anybody ever wanted to hit a grand slam home run? Don't answer this one. Anybody ever been up to bat with three people on base and struck out? Don't answer that one. That's happened as well. Jared hit a grand slam home run. And Mrs. T said, well, you know, I really wish Roger would have been here to see that. Because if you know Roger Toland, if you ever know that name, for 40 years prior to his passing several years ago, he was pretty much the man of knowledge of sports in South Dakota. If you had any questions about sports, Roger Toland knew, and they were at games all the time. And I said, well, I choose to believe this. I don't know how the great cloud of witnesses work exactly, but let's just assume that he was watching down and he participated in that. I don't understand what happens with this great cloud of witnesses, okay? I don't understand. But let's just assume that they're cheering you on. All right, let's believe that. Let's hope in that. There are people who have passed on it. If I said, everybody give me a name of somebody you know that has passed on, that's in that great cloud of witnesses, I wouldn't get to preach anymore. You'd give me names of individuals who are in the heavenly realms now that are saying, go, you can do it. I was able to be at a track meet this last week, and the track meet was for some younger children, so kindergarten through eighth grade. It's always fun to be at those track meets because you have the grandstands that are there and people are in the grandstands. And when the runners run by the grandstand, most of them hear the crowd and they're ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Now, some of them don't really care about running, so they're waving at mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, and then they get, oh, wait, I've got to keep running here, and so they get running again. But those that are the athletes, they, when they hear that crowd cheering them on, something comes inside of them. You've experienced that if you've ever run, and you run by somebody, and maybe it's a longer run of some kind, and people are standing on the side of the road cheering you on. There's something about that happens. But then when you get on the backstretch, and there's nobody there, and the wind's blowing in your face, you're like, am I running in the same wind that this kid is running in? Because he sure seems to be running faster than I am. And it's kind of lonely back there. But when you run in front of the grandstand, go, you can do it. There is a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering you on. You have to know that as we look through this Hebrews chapter 11, these people, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Barak, and then it says, and there are too many that we can't even name, are cheering you on in this faith battle that you're going through. I think as a church, we're exercising some grand faith. We're stepping into a whole new realm, into a new place along Elkville Road. So I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking that the group who gathered to begin First Wesleyan Church didn't even think about a church being along Elkville Road, because I don't believe, I'm not a historian of Rapid City, but Elkville Road wasn't here at that time, was it, Jerry? I don't know if you're the historian of the right now, but it wasn't there. And so now there's a road called Elkville Road, and there's a church building that's going there. And as a church, we're going to 3040 Marlin Drive, according to whatever address, to worship God and to help other people know the Lord. We're stepping out in faith. Many of you have given of your toil and your heart and your checkbook and your intellect. I want you to do me a favor today. I want you to measure your faith life. We all have faith in something. Many of you had great faith in the pew in which you're sitting on. I didn't see anyone, though I didn't watch you closely, but I don't think anybody came and said, I wonder if this thing's going to hold me today. I better check it to make sure it's not going to give out from underneath me. No, you just sat down. You have faith in something. We have faith in our jobs. But I want you to measure your faith life today. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I encourage you to grab your bulletin, and I encourage you to literally figure out where you see yourself in your faith life. I don't know if you want to put good, bad, and ugly and circle which one you want. I don't know if you want to go 1 to 10 and put, I'm really in a 9 right now. I choose to believe if everybody here put a 1 through 10, most of us would put between 4 and 7. That's where we put ourselves. Some of you would be a little less, and some of you would be a little more, but the bell curve would tell us that most of you would be in that realm. Maybe 1 to 5. Maybe you would put growing. Maybe you would put declining. But I'd like for you to assess your faith in the Lord today, and this is why. As we work through this faith chapter, I want your faith to grow. And so I want you to have a starting point, if you will, though it's not really a starting point unless you are accepting Christ today, but it's a starting point of now saying, where am I going to grow? Many of you are involved in jobs, and you have goals, and you have task lists, and you have things that you have to get done. At the end of the day, you're like, see what's happened with this new building that we have going up. It's like it's dreamed, and there it is on paper, and it's there. We see it. But in our spiritual life, sometimes we're like, I wonder if I've even grown any. And so that's what I want to ask. I want you to assess. I want you to write it down. I want you to say, this is where I'm at today. We're going to be speaking of faith this whole time through the summer months. And I want you to have your faith increase. Now, there's a couple of stipulations here for you. One, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ in order for that faith to grow. You have to have that established. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to express faith in God today to say yes, because you can't grow in your faith if you don't have faith. Number two, you have to want to increase your faith. Yeah, I'm going to pray about this, but I really don't think it's going to happen, but I guess I got to pray about it because the pastor said I was supposed to pray about it. Well, is God going to work? You got to want to increase your faith and say, God, would you do a mighty work through me? Another thing is you have to be willing to allow God to grow you in your faith. And you may say, well, that's kind of like you want to increase your faith, but you also have to be willing to let God increase your faith. You just can't say, I'm willing, and then you've got to do it on your own. No, you can't do it on your own. You've got to let God to do that. And I think also you have to put yourself as much as possible in the right situation, or at least allow yourself to be in the right situation for God to work. So I hope that you're ready for this. I want God to move mightily in your life, in your faith walk, for you in a powerful way. It's interesting to note how this fits in here. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence into the holy places by the blood of Jesus. And now in chapter 11, we're going to get examples of that. I hope you're here. I know there might be some traveling that happens next weekend because of Memorial Day. And if you miss next Sunday, listen to the message. There's a neat line in verse 4. We're only going to be in verse 4 next week. And there is a powerful line that I hope that you catch next week. So I'm not going there next week. I'm not going there right now because we got to go there next week. I got to go to verses 1 to 3. So 1 to 3 is where we're at today. Join me in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11. Here's what it says. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. I need your help here this morning, so I'm going to ask you, what is faith? Okay? I want you to think on that for a brief moment. And I want you to come up with the definition of what is faith. What would you do? Well, how would you define faith? Somebody share. Belief, trust. Something you can't see. Belief based on what? Belief based on warranty. Belief based on warranty. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Somebody else? Starting down a road, even though you don't know the end. Here's what the Bible says from this passage, says this. What is faith? That's point number one. It's the assurance of things hoped for, or being sure of. I think this is wonderful, and you're going to agree with me, so agree with me here. All I have to do is to be assured of something, and now I'm going to get it, right? That's what the scripture says. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, I will say this. Some preachers would say this. This is called the prosperity gospel, if you've heard of that. It's also referred to as a name it and claim it. Now, in defense of those preachers, I believe sometimes as Christians, we come to the throne of grace very timidly. Well, God, I don't know if you're, I just don't know. I trust you, I really do. But I just don't know if you're really going to do this. I hope maybe somewhere along the way you can make it happen. No, let's go with boldness to the throne. Why not? However, I don't think that we can take the scripture and in light of all scripture and say, whatever I am assured of, whatever I'm hoping for, that God's going to do that, because we serve an omniscient God who knows more than we know, so he may answer in a different way than we want, expect, or believe him to. And I also don't see this assurance of being something simple, though this might be okay, being something simple of believing our quarterback can lead us to the fourth quarter drive and win the championship. Or I don't also see it as praying for a finger not to be broken or for us to get an A on a test. I think it's good to get A's on a test, and I don't think broken bones are very good. However, it's something grander than these things. The assurance of heaven. That's good. But I don't even want to limit you on the assurance of heaven. That's a wonderful thing. Trust me. But I want you to be assurance of this. The assurance of God. The assurance of God. That is the faith of the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. God's promises, God's direction, God's power, the assurance of God. Faith is also the conviction of things not seen. I wonder how your vision is today. Mark Lockie can see me better today because he has new glasses on. I'm glad you can see me. Do I look better today? Sure do. Woo! Everybody else needs to get some new glasses, I think. I believe they're new, aren't they? Aren't they new glasses? Yes. Okay, good. I wonder if you can see. Some of us in this room are dynamite in this. We can see something beyond when nobody else sees it. Some of us don't do a very good job of this at all. We get so focused on, we're a microscopic visionary. Some of us are telescopic visionaries. Some of us are just kind of in between. Some of us are just depends on where it is. Here's what it says. The conviction of things not seen. What has God shown you? Something out there that nobody else can see, but yet you're like, it's there. God shows us stuff. I believe that. I'm not trying to get all wacky on you here and think that you were seeing UFOs or something. That's not it. I think God reveals himself in ways to us. And you're a part of that. The conviction of things not seen. If you could have one superpower, what would it be? Maybe you've been asked that question before. Some of us would like to fly. Anybody like to fly? Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Some of us would like to have spider webs in the end of our hands. And then we'd fly around and all over. Some of us might want to be like Dash Par Incredible and be super fast. Maybe you'd like to be that person. It's interesting, actually, the superhero movies that are coming out over the summer, actually. Power Rangers, Justice League, Transformers, Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe you're looking forward to those, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I think it identifies with our culture that wants greater things than what we have, things not seen. They want those powers. There's a power of God that can rest within you. Maybe the superpower you want is the X-ray vision. Maybe you should actually ask the Lord not extra vision, but supernatural vision. Well, Pastor Steve, isn't that just for pastors? No, it's not. It's for us. He gives each of us, every one of us, the ability to hope for things that are not seen. What do you see? Do you see godly things or are your eyes enticed by the things of the world? And let me tell you this, there are things that entice our eyes in the world. You've been there. You've done that. You've experienced some of those things of great enticing things. But here's what it says, the conviction of things not seen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. 2 Corinthians 4:18. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Maybe this is the part of your faith journey that actually you need to grow in. Maybe it is either one, the assurance of things hoped for, or two, conviction of things not seen. You just can't see it. And maybe you need to pray, oh God, would you show me those things? Helen Keller, which I think all of you know that name, said this, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Let me repeat that. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision. I think another thing we need to ask in this passage is, do I have faith? It's a concrete question to a feeling about things. It's hard to identify faith. It's hard to put our hands on. And I think the question is not, what do I believe? What do you believe? What do we believe? But the question is, whom do you believe? Whom do we believe? It's a fundamental question that some of us arrived at, and some of us are still not there. Let's see. Who do you have with you today? Is it Taylor? Taylor, can I borrow you for a moment? Can you come here, please? Would you help me, please? Can you, please? Come on, just come. All you gotta do is stand here. I'm not gonna ask you to do it. Come here, right, come stand. Come here, right, just stand here. Let everybody see you. Thank you for helping me today. This is Taylor. Taylor ran in the track meet the other day. How'd you do? Did you do all right? Yep, she did great. Taylor thinks her mom and dad are awesome, right? She really does. They have a great family relationship. They really do. And you think your mom like knows everything, doesn't she? Does she know a lot? Yeah. Does your dad pretty much know everything too? If you have any questions, who do you go to?
My mom and dad.
Your mom and your dad. Why? Because they're smart. They're really smart, aren't they? Yeah. Do you believe in your parents? Yeah, you do. Okay, you can go sit back down. Thank you for helping me. Somewhere along the way, I'm sorry, but it's true. You're not going to be the smartest lady in the world, and you're not going to be the smartest guy in the world. Somewhere it's going to change, and there's going to be a weird discovery for Taylor. It may happen when she's 12. It may happen when she's 18. I don't know when it's going to be, but all of you have experienced that too. You had a great belief in your parents. Some of you had some bad family things. Sorry about that. That wasn't good. But some of you had some great belief in your parents. You're like, my dad walks on water. My kids still believe that, I think. But pretty soon they're going to figure out that I don't. And then what happens to their belief system? Does it go down? Because my dad was everything. My mom was everything. Some of you are still there. And this is where I point you to what is faith. Faith is believing in God. Each of us in this room have had some rough times, and we have had a spouse, we've had a friend, we've had a mom or a dad, we've had a child, we've had somebody come alongside of us and help us. And when those times happen, we are so thankful for those people, are we not? It's like, oh, where would I be without you? But the truth of the matter is, there is only so much a doctor can do. There's only so much a wife or a husband can do. There's so much that so many whoever can do. And then that's when we have a realization is, do I believe in my spouse or do I believe in God? Now, I'm not trying to take spouses away, and I'm not trying to take children away. I'm not trying to take parents away. Those are good people, and God's placed those in our lives. But then we have to say, who do I believe really in? Each of us have had moments like that. We're like, ugh, that's tough. Some of us have had somebody ripped away from us. And then in those moments we say, did I believe in that person or do I believe in God? And it's neat when we can say, yes, I truly still believe in God. Do you have faith? Thousands of Christians refuse to believe his voice. They agree and affirm that the only way of entering Canaan is by crossing the Jordan, the river of death. Some few of them go on to believe that it's by death and resurrection, but how few believe that God has prepared better things for us? God has prepared better things for you and I. You need to believe that. We can't just believe in the present or even in the immediate future. We have to think of where God has brought us, but where he wants to take us. Don't just humdrum through this Christian life. Be looking for ways to increase your faith in the Lord. There's enough humdrum Christians in this life, and the Lord is looking for a few women and a few men who want God's great power to be poured into their lives, and are you willing to be this person? Now, this may involve persecution, so I don't wish that upon you, but it might mean difficulty. It might mean trial, but is there that sweet communion of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, I am assured of the things hoped for, and I have conviction of the things not seen. What does faith do for me? Faith increases our understanding of him. There are many gaps to maybe our understanding at times, but catch this in verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Hear me in this. God created the heavens and the earth. And this is what happened. And I know there's debate on the Big Bang and all that, and the Big Bang's not right because God created the earth. It says it in Genesis 1. God created the heaven and the earth, and this is what it says. He said, let there be light, and it was so. And by the word of God, and it's confirmed right here again in Hebrews chapter 11, by the word of God, the universe was created, and he created it all. By faith, we understand this. It's plain and simple. Do you have faith that God can and God did create the world? If you don't believe that, then you waver. If you do believe that God created the heavens and the earth, then you should be able to say, I have faith. I was called, some of you know a guy by the name of Tim Troxell, some of you don't. He used to live in Rapid City here, used to go to this church. He's a grown man now, and he's been struggling in recent days because he has a 3-year-old son by the name of Noah who's been having some seizures, and they're not sure what's happened, and they just happened to be home in Rapid City visiting family. And so I saw it on Facebook, and I said, hey, I'd be willing to come over and pray with you if you'd like for me to. And he called me up and said, yes, please do. And so as I was going there, I was just trying to think, how am I going to pray? Man, this is so difficult. How is this family who has a 3-year-old son who's having seizures? I have a son that had seizures, and boy, that wasn't easy at all to go through. And how am I going to pray? And so I begin to think, in the passage in the Bible, there's something about a little boy who had seizures. And so I went and I found that. It's found in Matthew chapter 17. And this little boy was having seizures, and they brought this little boy to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't heal him. And so then they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus touches him and he heals him. And then as I continue to read, the disciples said, Jesus, how come we couldn't do this? And we use this passage for other things, but it was specifically for this. Jesus said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. We talk about moving mountains with the faith of the grain of a mustard seed, and it was talking about when a little boy was having seizures. Hear me in this. If you have faith, the small as a grain of the mustard seed, if you have that faith, God can do mighty things through you. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus says this, or the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. There's something about our faith being increased individually and corporately. You remember the story that the man was being lowered through the roof because they couldn't get anywhere. And why was that man healed? That man was healed not because of the person on the man on the mat was not healed because of his faith. Why was he healed? He was healed, the scripture says, because the guy's faith. And so sometimes that happens in our life. We're like, I don't really have a whole lot of faith. I actually had a lady walk out this morning. She said, you know, it's me. I don't have much faith right now. I'm struggling. And there may be some times where you're struggling. And that's where the community comes, the body of believers, and says, keep going forward. You can do it. And so here I just say this to somebody this morning. You have a little bit of faith and not much at all, hardly, in something in your life. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, and so that what we have seen is not made out of things that are visible. You can be there, do it, whatever it is, because God's in it. Because God is in it. Do I have faith in God? Here's what a quote says. We cannot witness for God unless we know what it is to walk with God. So, are you ready to step out in faith today? Some of you, as you came in this morning, you said, how in the world did Pastor Steve know that I needed that today? And I didn't. This is just the word of God. I thought about this passage a long time ago, and now you're here. But I think there are moments in our lives where God says, will you step out? And we have A, B, or C, and we're not sure where to go, but we sure think it's C. And so we start going that way. But then the enemy says, don't do that. Don't listen to the enemy. Follow the Lord. Step out in faith. What area of your faith walk today do you need to step up and step out in? Here's one of the fun things about this passage, and I think it's not just from this passage, but from all of God's word. God is faithful. That's true to his nature. And many times I confess to you, I am faithless about something, and so are you. And even in those faithless times, God says, I'm still faithful. And we plug into him. I encourage you, maybe you need to write down an area of faithlessness and say, God, I need to increase in this area. Would you increase my faith in this faithless area? Hear these words. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through his word, creating faith in him. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Stand with me, please. Lord Jesus, I just pray over each person that's here today. I know the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And as they walk out of this sanctuary today, I believe that there will be some barbs that the enemy tries. But Lord, I believe that you're asking some individuals in this room to step out in faith or step up in faith or trust you or believe you or have a vision beyond. And so, Lord, I just pray for each person today. You know where they're at, and I just pray that you would seal whatever you have wanted to seal in their heart and their life. And they would say, yes, I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your steadfastness. And as I think about a number of people in this room and a number of different situations, some of those I know about, some of those I don't even know. God, you have continued to prove faithful. Help them to step out in faith, and may there just be some great faith stories that happen in the next several days, next several weeks, and next several months, because people are saying, I'm open and willing. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would assure each person here this morning of your love and help them to see beyond where they're at. Thank you for creating this universe by your one word. And Lord, may we go with your presence. I pray, God, over each person today, that you would bless them, that you would lift them up, that you would make them outstanding individuals of following after you. Go with us this day and this week. We love you, and we pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.